what's his name did a pretty good job. And thank you all for being here tonight. We really are glad you're here. Actually, I want to talk to you a little bit about many of the warnings that God gives unto us, many of them. The Bible says that we are to reprove, for correct, for instruct in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. And there are many things of which God has warned us concerning life and living. I want us to examine, actually, some of the things that we should avoid, beginning with the letter I. Now, I know that sounds a little unusual to you, but beginning with the letter I, there are things that we should be avoiding. Number one is ignorance. You know, the Bible teaches us, God says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And, you know, there are a lot of people that just simply are ignorant of the Word of God. And they will plead innocent when they stand before the great judge of the earth. But Paul would write in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 concerning the coming of Christ, why he would say, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them that are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. You know, they say that we are way behind, and they have, you know, many in the legislative body in the state of Texas attributed to the fact that we had COVID and a number of young people are simply behind. And that may be true. It just could quite be true. But in the book of Hosea 4 and verse 6, he says that my people are destroyed because they are ignorant and because they do not have the knowledge of God. You know, we're constantly warned in the Bible to stay away from fools. In the book of Proverbs 14 and verse 7, and the scripture says, stay away from fools, for you won't find knowledge on their lips. They will lead you astray, and the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, or the beginning of knowledge, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Proverbs 9 and verse 10. If you were to be given a test tonight on the Bible, how would you do? If you were to be given a test on Old Testament prophets, how would you fare? Or perhaps even the New Testament, the teachings of Christ. Can you even name the Ten Commandments? Or can you reflect upon the commandments of Christ? If Jesus taught in the 14th chapter of the book of John that we are to keep his commandments, which ones are we going to keep? And if you don't know them, can you keep them? How can you keep them if you're not aware of what they are? In the book of Proverbs 24 and verse 5, Solomon said, a wise man has great power, and a man of knowledge increases strength. You see the great premium that God has placed upon the Word and getting to know the Bible and getting to know the characters of the Bible. We know so very little. And it was ignorance that resulted in the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. They may have been looking for a Messiah, some of them may have been, but Jesus didn't fit the bill, not in their mind. And many of the magistrates and the law officers went right along with it, and they crucified him because they were ignorant of what the Bible actually taught. And in Acts, the third chapter, in verse 17, it simply caused them to crucify our Lord. But he was put to death on the cruel cross of Calvary, right along with two other malefactors. And he died because people that ushered in his death were those who actually crucified him out of ignorance. The book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7 through 8. Ignorance blinded them to the truth. Do you know? Think about that a minute. You know, if you don't know the Word of God, it would be very easy for you to be led astray. And that's why we have so many people today in today's world that are being led astray not by the word of God, but by the ignorance of many people who have not studied the Bible. We even have a lot of people in the church that do not know some of the underlying factors of what we really are about. They don't know why we don't use musical instruments in worship. They don't know why we observe the Lord's Supper as we did this morning. And for the sake of you that were not here this morning, you'll have that opportunity to do that tonight. Many people do not understand why we're so concerned about the lost. But we're concerned about the lost because Jesus was concerned about the lost. Now listen as the Apostle Paul describes the ignorance in some. He says, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So he's just simply really indicting them because they were ignorant of it. How much of the Bible do you read weekly? You know, I hope you read it every day, but I would think by asking you how much do you read weekly might be a more appropriate question. How much of the Word of God do you really study and search out in your minds? Paul said, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but he said, I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. Well, some people are going to stand in the hour of judgment and say, God, I just didn't know that. I didn't know it. But you know what God will say? He will say the same thing that Luke recorded over in the 17th chapter of the book of Acts. Actually, when Paul was on Mars Hill, and he said in the times of ignorance, God winked at. He blinked. But now he commands all men everywhere to repent. In other words, the time of ignorance is over. You're not going to be able to stand before the great judge of the earth and say, God, I was ignorant of it. When Bibles are so plentiful, when you can get the Word of God anywhere, you can get it on your internet, you can get it on your phone, you can get it anywhere because it is so readily available. But Paul said, I did all this because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. But those days are over. Notice what he says, and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Paul was so thankful unto God for what he had done. And Paul would later, as we studied this morning in Bible class, was a chosen vessel unto God, unto the Gentile people. Nothing in the world is more dangerous than a sincere ignorance and a conscientious stupidity. Now, you start that one out, but I'm telling you that is so true. There are a lot of people that are sincerely ignorant. They never learn. They don't even have a quest for a greater knowledge about God. But they are a conscientious, stupid individual when it comes to the Word of God. They bury their head in the sand like the ostrich, so to say. And they're living with their eyes closed. John Lennon said that many years ago, who sang with the Beatles. But ignorance is a terrible, terrible thing. It is no longer tolerated by God, not according to the book of Acts and to the Word of God. God wants all men to come to the knowledge of truth. For 1 Timothy chapter 2, 3, and 4 says that he is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance and come to the knowledge of truth. Israel should have known. If they had just simply gone back to the scholars of their day and had really examined the scriptures, they would have known most assuredly that Jesus was no imposter, but that he fit the bill for every prophecy of the Old Testament concerning the coming of the Messiah. Ignorance will never be allowed as an excuse for anything. So God says to us, ignorance will lead you to rebel against God. That's why people today are doing what they're doing. In the church today, we see such a waywardness and a drifting away from God. Why are they doing that? They're ignorant of the Word of God. They are, and it leads to rebellion. For we read also in the book of Ephesians 4, 17 through 20, right along with vanity and blandness and lasciviousness is the word ignorance. 1 Peter 1 and verse 4 talks about the fact that they once lived in ignorance. Romans 10 and verse 14, they went aside to establish their own righteousness and not hold on to the righteousness of God who is in heaven. And in 2 Peter 3 and verse 5, there were scoffers that went among the people, and they were willingly ignorant. How much more of the Bible do you know tonight than you knew last year at the beginning of 2025? Have you grown much during the year? Paul the Apostle admonished those in his day in the book of Hebrews chapter 5 and chapter 6 that we are to go on. He said, leaving those basic principles, let us go on to perfection. Let's add to our faith virtue and knowledge. There it is. And temperance and brotherly kindness and patience. In Romans, the 10th chapter and verse 3, Paul said of some, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. You know, the righteousness of God is something that is far different than our own standard of righteousness. And the remedy for ignorance and to get over it is to have a ready mind. The Bible says the Bereans were more noble than those of Thessalonica, Acts chapter 17 and verse 11, inasmuch as they searched the scripture. And I want you to notice this. I ask you about the week. But he says they searched the scripture daily to see if the things that were taught were so. So he says, don't stop now. Just keep going on. Give diligence to apply these, what we call the Christian graces, to our life. But then there's another I to avoid, and that is the word iniquity that begins with the letter I. You know, the Bible warns us about associating with people that are in iniquity. And iniquity is a violation of the law. It is a transgression of God's word. It is illegal, wickedness, unrighteousness going beyond the bounds of the law. That's what iniquity actually is. And it, like ignorance, is never acceptable in the eyes of Jehovah. We found it among religious leaders in Matthew chapter 23, where Christ gives those scathing, I guess you could say, condemnation against many of the Jewish leaders of his day. And God loved righteousness, but he hated iniquity, Paul writes in Hebrews 1 and verse 9. Now, I like the verse here in Psalms 5 and verse 5. He says, foolishness shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Because God is angry with the wicked every day, the Bible says. And God's wrath, according to Romans chapter 1, verse 29 and following, God's wrath is revealed against all areas of ungodliness. The Apostle John actually penned the book, the Gospel of John, but he also wrote three other books, 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John. And in the book of 1 John, chapter 3 and verse 4, he said that sin is a transgression of the law. Some remain in sin without wanting to change. That is what transgression actually is. And Paul referred to the hardness of heart and the impenitent in the book of Romans 2 and verse 5. These are people that didn't want to change. But listen to what Jesus says about it in Matthew 7, 21. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that are workers of iniquity. He didn't condemn them because of their ignorance here, but because of their iniquity. Someone said the scariest words to ever hear would be those of Jesus, who said, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Those would be horrible words to hear, wouldn't it? But you don't have to hear those words. You know, you have to follow truth. And the solution is very simple. The way to be free from iniquity is through forgiveness that only God can give. He forgives our iniquities. Romans 2 and verse 7 says, and Titus 2 and 14, he wants to redeem us, and that just simply means to buy us back. We belonged to God at one time. When we were born into the world, you were born in a state of innocency. But then you departed from God through your sin, and God calls you back to himself, and that's what redemption is all about. Jesus paid for your soul. In Hebrews 8 and verse 12, the Bible says that when he forgives us, he will remember our sins against us no more. The same thing that is found over in the book of Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 31. We must accept God's pardon on God's terms. They cannot be, you know, a lot of people try to augment the scripture, and you've heard people say, well, I know that's what the Bible says, but I don't really believe that's what it means. I believe that God means precisely what he says, folks. Who are we to delineate from the Word of God, or who are we to go in and, put a big black mark, as you've been watching the news recently, that it actions, and put a big black mark over something you don't think we ought to do. But God says we have to follow his word. It has not changed. For Hebrews 13:8 said that Jesus Christ is the same today, yesterday, and forever. And in the book of Matthew 24, Jesus said that heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not pass away. David said it's forever settled in heaven. That brings me thirdly to another I that we must avoid, and that is the sin of idleness. And if you really want to call it what it is nothing more than just being lazy. And God will judge us in the last days because of the fruits of our idleness. Souls will die and go to hell because of our negligence and our idleness. A brother who has gone astray may go further into sin if we don't reach out to them to bring them back into a common relationship with Christ. 1 Timothy 5 and verse 13. Paul talks about the fact that there would be tattlers, there would be hearing tales that should not be repeated. Busybodies involving themselves in other men's matters. In other words, just sticking your nose into where it does not belong. And that is what iniquity is. And ignorance and idleness. When people are busy doing the will of God, they don't have time to be idle. They don't. You know, if you're really serving the Lord, you don't have free time. People talk about free time all the time. But, you know, if you're really serving the Lord, you don't have a lot of free time. You don't. The person who is idle is often tempted because they're not filling their lives with good things. You remember the parable that Jesus told about the woman that swept her house of all the evil spirits? And because she did not get rid of them and replace the house with good spirits, the evil spirits came back and took over. And that's what happens in our life. People come to church, they get baptized, and they claim to be faithful to God. But then they start leaving the Lord and they follow the world instead of God. We should fill our thoughts with spiritual thoughts, and there will be no reason for the flesh to take over. idleness is when opportunity exists and it causes us to sin. For him that knoweth to do good, James 4:17 says, and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And the one who knows to say it again in another version of the scripture in James 4:17, but the one who knows the right thing to do but doesn't do it sins against God. And whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it has transgressed the law. But you know, sometimes we're just kind of like this tortoise up here. We're so slow in getting done what we ought to do. We just crawl along spiritually, and you know, whatever the tide brings in, we just accept it and we go on. But that's not the way God wants us to be. He doesn't want us to be lazy. When you read the book of Romans chapter 12, the Bible says that we're not to be slothful. You know what a sloth is? How he hangs from a tree and all he does is just hang from that tree. He doesn't do anything. And that's the way sometimes those of us who are Christians are. We're slothful. But Romans 12 and verse 11 says that we're not to be slothful in business, but we're to be fervent in spirit and serving the Lord. You know, every day we stand facing habits and changes. And you know what? It's like that old saying that old habits die hard. They really do. It's hard to make a change sometimes. It's like Paul said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. But we should avoid distractions and don't miss the great blessings of God. Avoid those things that can have a tendency to cause us to drift or go away from our Lord, because we will regret it. David said succinctly, he said in Psalms 91, I will put my trust in him that is my God. And that's where we all should put our trust. And you don't want to be led astray. Don't be around people that do not want to learn, that do not want to grow. They will pull you down. They will. Don't be around people that are filled with iniquity in their heart, rebellion against God. It will destroy you, and it will shake your faith. I hope tonight, as you re-examine your life, and I think we ought to do that every day. You know, it's not just something we do occasionally to look at ourselves and say, do I need to rededicate my life to Christ or not, or am I okay? We know whether or not we are okay. We know whether or not we stand justified or whether we stand condemned in the presence of God. Let me ask you a question tonight. Where do you stand as an individual? If you're not a Christian, you stand condemned tonight. But you can change that. God wants to save you. He wants to forgive your sins. But you must come to God on His terms. You must give up those things that keep you from being the kind of person that the Lord God really wants you to be. We're going to sing a song of encouragement again tonight. We sang one this morning. Perhaps maybe tonight there are others in the audience that need to respond in a public way to our Lord's invitation. And it is His. And it is the church's. For John would write and they'd say, the Spirit and the bride say, come, the church. And let us take of the fountain of the water of life freely by being baptized tonight for the remission of sin. And if you're a Christian and you know that in your heart of hearts, you're not really measuring up to God, you're really not. You don't give Him much of your time, as we talked about this morning. You run with the wrong folks. You live an ungodly life. You come to church on Sunday morning, but then you leave and you go back out and live the way you want to, not the way God wants you to live. So if you need to respond tonight, let us do so right now while we stand and sing.